Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Curious Conversations with Tully and Sarah.
We sit down and chat with business owners, entrepreneurs, and some of the best conversation starters.
This is a podcast about real life lessons and people doing cool shit. Welcome to another episode of Curious Conversation. Sarah, how are you?
I'm pretty good, actually, Tully. How are you going?
I'm great, thank you. I love that answer. It's kind of, we're obviously based in Melbourne and the sun has been shining the last few days and I'm not mad about it.
Spring is in the air.
It is, and I'm very excited. But what's been happening?
But saying that, I can't get my face in the sun because I had laser on my face.
Sarah had BB out on her face. So essentially you have to literally wear 50 SPF all the time.
Yep. I had some sunspots because I was naughty growing up. Even now, I do put my face in the sun.
I don't think you'd be the only one. I feel like when we were growing up, it was kind of like, I mean, you did do slip, slop, slap, but it wasn't really a thing that you got educated on as much as now. And we do regret it. And we are definitely not doing that again.
We're paying for it now. But yeah. No, it's something that I've wanted for a very, very long time. And you had it done. And I was like, I actually want that done. So I had my first session and I go back in a month. Yes. And I'll have my second session.
Yeah. So Sarah goes to Skin Boutique in Elwood. Shout out. They've had two shout outs the last 2 weeks in a row because our last episode with Ella from Maths, she previously worked at the Skin Boutique. So it's amazing treatment. And I've had my chest done because I was really naughty and used to go to the solarium. I totally regret it now.
That's one thing I've never done. I've never been in a solarium.
It's awful. And I'm glad they're banned because it's not a very good decision to make. But, you know, young and just wanted to be tanned and all those kind of things.
Young, dumb and free.
Free, exactly. Yeah, exactly. but on this week's episode, we had a really, really amazing podcast episode and I walked away feeling inspired and just like I kind of felt like I wanted to like work.
Yeah.
Like go get. Like I don't know. It just gave me a lot of motivation. So I think it's going to be a very great episode for you guys to listen to.
And so who did we have? We sat down with Renice Brewster from
Visual Domain.
Yes.
So Visual Domain is essentially a video production company.
Yep.
So in this day and age, you've got your social medias, you've got TikTok and video has definitely changed. She launched in 2008.
Yeah. It consumes our whole world. Like you think, me personally, I watch Reels, I watch TikTok, I watch YouTube, I watch TV. So for as much as you don't probably think about it, you're watching video content all the time.
Yeah. And it does consume, especially now, our lives a lot. Mm. So it was really nice to get a little bit of an understanding about her company and, you know, the emotion behind videos. And also what I love the most is how she built her way up to where the company is now. So inspiring. And I think, hats off to her, like really got me inspired.
So inspired that we both walked away and we basically asked her if she would be our mentor.
Yeah. So I was like, she's kind of someone that you would want to have in your life as a business mentor. And she also runs, which we talk about in the podcast, is the Girls in Tech in Australia. So you'll find out more about that. And I think if you're a female in business or even a male in business, but particularly female because that's our target market, is I think you'll get a lot out of it. And I think it's a really, really great episode for you guys if you run a business.
And she's also a mum.
Yeah. And she's Aussie and she's in Melbourne and just everything about her was so inspiring.
Yeah. I love it. So I think we should get into it.
Yes. And guys, it would be really helpful if you subscribe to our podcast and gave us a 5-star rating.
And left a little bit of love in a comment form.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And don't forget to like, subscribe and
share with all your friends.
Have a beautiful week, guys. Ciao.
Renice, welcome to Curious Conversations.
Thank you for having me.
We're excited to have you. We've obviously done a little bit of research on you and you are impressive.
That's a worry.
No, honestly, like a powerhouse when it comes to business and even to the fact that you're on the board of the non-for-profit charity, is it
Girls in Tech?
Yeah, that's like, it. Yep. Your background is phenomenal because you started this business, Visual Domain, how long ago?
14 years ago now. Yeah.
And so that is before the evolution of visual content. Instagram, everything.
Yeah, it was definitely not a thing, video marketing, when we started, which made it all the more scary to get started. But here we are now, 14 years later, and video is everywhere. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm really excited for this conversation because video is everywhere and we're in that part of our lives where it's, you know, for me, it dominates a lot of my life, your social media, TikToks and stuff. I just want to go back to, it was 2008 mm-hmm. when you launched. Yep. So why did you decide to get in this space?
It was a bit of a meant to be situation, right? So at the time,
that's okay.
At the time, I was working at a company that created mobile websites for a mobile phone, which sounds pretty like we can all understand that. But this was pre-iPhone.
Oh, wow.
So this was for like a BlackBerry. Like the smartphone did not exist back in this time. And we're talking like GFC, every business is getting hit really hard. And it was like a great idea, which, you know, 2 years later would have been a successful app company, but just at the time just didn't get through the GFC. But in its final few days or months of kind of being alive, they started to kind of branch out. And my boss at the time was mates with someone who worked in TV, and he said, why don't we offer these clients who are doing the website a video? So I had a little kind of insight into video marketing, and I loved it. Like I don't know why, I just loved it. I think I loved the fact that video marketing was not accessible to these brands we were bringing it to. Yeah. At that point in time, unless you had six figures, you couldn't get a video. So it was the top end of town. Here's kind of more smaller, medium businesses getting access to it. And just I think it's like that, you know, they're seeing it like all professional, like on TV, and just that excitement of seeing it at the time really got me sucked in. But anyway, that business was not to be, unfortunately. And at the farewell drinks, the mate of my boss at the time came up, said, I reckon we can make a thing of this. And I dismissed it straight away.
Did you?
Straight away. For good reason.
Yeah.
Like I loved it, loved the space. I could really enjoy it. But well, for one, video marketing wasn't a thing. So it's not like it was an industry I could kind of identify with or kind of figure out where to start. Like two, I hadn't started a business before, so, you know, didn't have firsthand experience, had just lived through a small startup kind of going under through the, didn't really want that, which is probably all more important because I had like a mortgage at the time. My husband was doing a carpentry apprenticeship, so he was earning like $200 a week. It was, you know, so it was really up to me. I had to make sure. I was like, great idea, would love to do this, but
it's a risk.
This is a huge risk. I had a toddler, so it wasn't just me and my husband. I had to
the whole family.
You know,
you had bills to pay.
Exactly. And, the kicker was I was pregnant.
Oh no.
So I loved the idea, but it was just like, oh, I can't do it. And I sort of walked away and went out in the job market and was looking for stuff and got offers, but I just couldn't get it out of my head. And he called me a few weeks later. And the thing that just changed everything. It's the stupidest bloody comment, but he said people open restaurants all the time and they never know if anyone's going to come, but they just do it anyway. Oh, and I don't know why that was such an epiphany because it's the stupidest comment unrelated to video.
But true.
Yeah, but true. So we got in our head, okay, so if we can get five videos a week, that's one a day, that's like one person having a little video meal in our, you know, make-believe restaurant video production company. We're on a winner. So I got a retail job. I was delivering pizzas. I was pregnant. I had a toddler and we started Visual Domain.
Oh, my God.
What a story.
It was full on, but I did. I just bloody loved it. And I think that same like just passion for the product, like 14 years later, it's completely different. I still love it just as much.
I love that story.
Back in that time, how does it feel or how did it feel like when you landed your first client?
Oh my God. Well, that's a story in itself. Yeah. So we decided to like focus on the real estate industry to begin with, because during the GFC, properties weren't selling. We really saw an opportunity. We could create like a little video of someone's home for sale and help it get it across the line, which is a really common thing now. But back then there wasn't a spot for the video to go in on any of, you know, realestate.com or domain. Like, it couldn't go anywhere. So really like, we were really trying to convince people on this idea of what it's like a TV commercial for your home. You know, they didn't exist. And in order to do that, both my business partner and I both have like, I had the toddler, we'd go to the park and like stalk the real estate agents at the park and try and get in front of them just to just give us a shot. Like, let's give it a go. And yeah, we got a few. It was such a magic time for video marketing. And oh God, if we still had it today, the world would be very different. But because Google had just bought YouTube at the time, like literally the same time we started, you'd put something on YouTube and you'd just tag it, like in the real estate instance, you know, real estate Melbourne, for example. Literally 10 minutes later, you just Google real estate Melbourne and number one was the video.
Wow.
So that really worked in our favor to build that momentum early on, and it kind of just took off quicker than we could thought. The challenge at the time was, you know, we got that initial momentum, which was hard. Like, you weren't really selling the idea. It's not like we had like examples we could draw on. It was just this concept. Then we had to figure out, how do we make it affordable enough that they'll keep coming back?
Yeah.
You know, and how can we turn it around quick enough? Like, a property's marketing schedule is normally 4 weeks. So we had to be able to do it really quickly. And this is really showing our age, but we had to do it professionally because like digital cameras for video didn't really exist.
So that's an expensive process.
We would do it on tape. Like, it was, you needed a proper videographer, like someone. It wasn't just a photographer with a camera. Yeah. You actually had, you know, someone who had done 4 years of uni or whatever to learn
and then
how
to cut and edit, turn around.
But it's because of, I think, having the number five in our head, we had to have five people every week come in and buy a video. Then we had to, you know, kind of, where could we get five a week? Real estate. Yeah. Real estate led us to, how do we make it kind of, you know, fast, affordable, but still really professional, high quality product. Like, you fast forward to today and think, I love our real estate video days, but we don't do any real estate videos anymore. But this is the corporate world now, you know, like they need fresh content every single week that's turned around quickly, that, you know, is professional so it can reflect their brand, but also, you know, they can do affordably so they can do enough of them. So, it's kind of laid the foundations for us.
Did you have any history in sales?
I had. I used to sell my job, I worked Coles in the deli, but we'll just brush past that. But when I was 16, I got a job at Billy Guy's, which is like an electrical furniture store, and used to sell like fridges and vacuum cleaners and stuff. Even like when I was a teenager, that was my McDonald's.
Starting a business, that is probably, I would say, I don't know if you would agree, Tal, one of the hardest parts is being able to sell your product 100%. Or your service to someone else. 100%.
It is and it isn't. I think when it's your business, you don't put yourself through that when you don't believe in what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I think there's also just that
passion.
Yeah. And real conviction for what you're doing. Like, I really did believe in it. I really did love it. Like, still do.
Yeah.
So, you know, in my mind, and very much so, I could see by the results we were getting people, like, we really just wanted to help and show them what they could do with video, which was so new.
That's so funny. We're actually having that conversation today about you're the best person to sell your product. So true. And it is passion.
Yeah.
So much passion.
This was a challenge a few years on of trying to get other people to sell our product. Yeah.
Wow. Sorry. That's crazy. No, that's okay. I just want to go back to the real estate. Did they tell you how the sales were converting? Like, did it help sales?
I don't know how much of an definitely there was anecdotal stories. Yeah. The views were really good. Mm-hmm. I think they became a really useful tool, but because they were so new, it was still, they were more an affirmation tool for a lot of buyers. Mm-hmm. So they'd actually go through the home and, you know, they'd be, you know, normally you had the little brochure and you'd look at it in the week and start looking at the floor plan where your furniture would go. So many of them would then watch the video and go, no, this is my home and I want it. But it was such a strange time because properties just weren't selling. Yeah. Back then we used to do like auction profiles to showcase the auctioneer. I think it took us almost, it was over 12 months and we did like a couple hundred of these things, of these auction profiles, not one property sold under auction.
Oh, wow.
So we always had to fake it. Like sold.
Yeah.
100%. Fake it till you make it. Yeah. That's one of our little business rules.
So, the videos definitely helped, but it was just such a weird time in the world.
Yeah. We're currently sitting in your office, which is quite large. Just for people who are listening, how has Visual Domain changed over the 14 years? How big is it now?
Well, we're just over 100. We're Australia-wide. Mm. We do, it's funny, we used to do close to 300 videos a week. It's actually scaled back to about 200, which is still a huge number. Mm. But
a week?
A week.
Wow.
But the productions are so much bigger and they've actually really changed a lot in the last 2 years. So, you know, so much was this sort of fast turnaround, still high quality, but I guess kind of very almost productized. Yeah. Like they're almost sort of pieces to get. Like we really kind of were doing a lot of those. I think now clients are looking for a bit more production value, a higher end product. You know, it wouldn't be uncommon for us to send one person out on location to film, and now we do send half a dozen. Like it is a much bigger production that we put off.
I just got a question for people that are listening. Production, can you just give us a rundown of what actually, like you obviously do TV commercials and stuff like that. Now social media is huge. What are some of the productions that you do based on TVs, social media, all that kind of stuff?
So really we specialize in kind of corporate video production. So anything a brand could need in the space of video, and it is pretty video exclusive. We sometimes support with photography and help with other kind of visual mediums, but video is like what we live and breathe for, right? It's what gets us out of bed in the morning. So video can be social media, can be internal comms, animation.
Oh, wow.
We do personalized video, live streaming, interactive videos, literally anything in the video universe that a brand could need, we do.
Yeah. Does a brand come to you with what they need and then you produce it all? Like you're like, oh, we need to try and create this, try to emotion and connectivity with the consumer?
Yeah.
Or do they come to you and say, like, we need this, 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 this?
Bit of everything. Sometimes they really know what they want. Here's the brief. Can you just make it a reality?
Yep.
And that's cool. Other times it's like, we've got this problem. You know, we're not selling this product. We don't know why. And then we'll come up with a few, you know, understand who the audience is, what medium would be best for it, and then come up with some creative ideas for them, and kind of everything in between. So it can be like we really try and position ourselves as a client's partner in production, and you know, most of the clients we work with, which was over 500 last year, are ones that we've had for several years. So it's really about understanding them, understanding their brand, and I guess just where we can help and support as best we can through video, just because we do live and breathe it every day and can see what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, you mentioned before you have over 100 staff.
Mm-hmm.
How you've obviously come from, you know, this tiny and then all of a sudden you've got all these staff. How do you navigate staff? That scares the absolute shit out of me.
It is definitely scary. Yeah. You can't control people.
No. And like you love and you see this vision in your business and your brand and where you want it, and it's hard to – how do you do it?
So, God, such a loaded question. It's funny. I've kind of been on a journey with it. I think we kind of in the early days it was all about getting kind of – the business off the ground and so focused on the business. Mm-hmm. But there's been this point where the business is kind of stabilized and it's, you know, doing quite well. So why would we need to grow anymore? Because technically we're a service business, which is not very sexy, because the more you sell, the more it costs you, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not. But what growth gives us is opportunity for our team.
Yeah.
So if we get bigger, it means our team have got opportunity to take on leadership roles, to take on bigger projects, to, you know, if we start taking on these kind of jobs that are in the six-figure range, they get the opportunity to work on those. And I think what I love about Visual Domain, like it's pretty common in our industry that I'd say the bulk of the workforce is freelance. So, you know, they live a very contractor lifestyle, especially in your early days. Those hours on the tools just get you from, you know, your skill level grows up so much. So being able to offer people 40 hours, you know, 38 hours a week, full-time employment where they get to really come in and do what they love. I love. So growth really creates opportunity is something that's, you know, I think we kind of appreciated early on, or, you know, growing for one thing is, you know, I personally just love growing because it's a challenge for me, but I also really love the challenge for our people as well. And the shift, I think, has been in the early days, it was all about just trying to build the business. And that was kind of the vision. While it wasn't ever really articulated, our purpose was, are we a real business and can we succeed? And I think everyone kind of felt that and just followed. And we were small. As we've gotten bigger, you know, now we really want to, you know, global domination, obviously, which is every business's dream, naturally. So it's really about getting, I think, really crystal clear on why we exist, the values that are so important to us, which I used to think was really wanky. Now I'm like such a believer because it's everything. And I think once you've got that vision and values really so clear in your mind, it kind of makes the people part super easy. Do people believe in what you're creating? Are they on the journey with you? Yes, no.
Yeah.
Do their values, you know, align to ours? And I think as well, it's kind of what helps us create diversity across the team because those two things keep us together. But whatever else kind of comes and, you know, where people come from, what they look like, what their backgrounds are so different, which I love. Like we've got people who've been in television for like 30 odd years and other people who are just new in their industry, other who have had just their own little kind of social media startups, you know. So it's a really kind of diverse skill set, diverse bunch. But I think what aligns us is that vision and values. So for the team, and I think growing them, that's the most critical part.
Yeah. I find obviously Sarah and I have a business and we speak to a lot of women in business. Personally, I find the hardest business part of business, and I think Sarah, you might agree a little bit, is the growth part of it. Like how do you get from one stage to the next? Do you get investors? Do you get any, have you had any investment coming in or how have you kind of
We bootstrapped for 10 years. So that was a long time and definitely not common to bootstrap that long. I think in the early days, like I think VC land, startup land, just even putting your deck together and go, it's such in the business world, such common language. But back then maybe I was just under a tree or something. I just missed it all. But it really just wasn't that common. So maybe if I'd known about it, but very grateful that we didn't. We bootstrapped, so we had it all on the line for a really long time. And 10 years in, I think we felt confident that if we had, you know, we don't have recurring income at Visual Domain and we have 100 people. So, you can imagine what that looks like. And every month you kind of got to almost start from zero and work your way back up again. So if you want to be able to take risks, they've got to be so calculated and you can't afford to lose. So getting investment, I think we could see what we wanted to do. It just gave us that little bit more backing to kind of just really go for them, and they all paid off. So 10 years in, we got some investment from a family office, which set us up really well. And last year in October, we actually had a major acquisition from News Corp. So
that's incredible.
Yeah, that happened in October, which was 13 years a journey. So,
I feel like this day and age, everyone's starting a business, they want to take off straight away, but it takes such a long time to build an amazing team, build a business and grow.
And also just learn yourself what the hell you're doing, right?
Agree. I was going to say, for you as a person, as you as a leader, what was the hardest part?
Yeah, good question.
I think actually knowing that's my job to be the leader.
Yeah.
Like it's not that I wasn't. I just don't actually think I appreciated that's what everyone's looking to me for.
Yeah.
And I've actually got to really respect that and step up. And even when I don't feel like a leader or I'm feeling out of my depth or whatever, I'm not doing the right thing by the team if I don't actually take on that role and own it. And it's funny, as you guys were setting up, you were saying how much you enjoy the podcast because you get to kind of hear all these stories and you learn so much. I used to be out producing and so talking to people. And it was actually, you know, He's in his 80s. He's had his business since he was 19. He said it was only like 10 years ago he appreciated his title of chairman. What does it actually mean? It actually means I'm meant to be a leader. Like they're looking to me for leadership and to take it all on and owning that. And he teared up as he said it. And then I started tearing up. And it was just this acknowledgement of I don't feel like one, but everyone's expecting me to be one and I don't want to let anyone down. So bloody hell, I'm going to give it my best go. I'm going to be a leader today.
Yeah.
So you step into it.
To you in your role, what does a leader have to do?
I think it's having the uncomfortable conversations when you don't want to. Mm-hmm. It's when you step into a room and maybe feel like you don't belong there. Know that you're not there for you. You're actually there for your team. Yeah. And so sometimes that gives me the courage when I'm feeling completely out of my depth that, no, I'm here because I'm here for them. So I'm going to do them justice and I'm going to make sure my voice gets heard. Yeah. And I think it's just appreciating the fact that everyone's kind of on this, like you can't do it alone. And so, you know, and everyone here has got their own, I guess, sort of journey they're trying to go on. And if I can kind of help support them, whether it's here or not here, like what a great thing to do. So it's definitely what I want to be able to do here is I think just acknowledge everyone as individuals, but also kind of do them justice when I'm out there when that imposter syndrome takes over.
I love that.
You feel out of your depth, like, put my own feelings aside.
Yeah.
I need to step up for them.
So, and that's so nice for me personally to hear because it's something I can relate to in our businesses too. Sometimes I can't be bothered showing up, but I know I have to show up.
Yeah.
And I do feel out of my depth when we're walking into the Vogue building and or something.
I feel like it's a common issue in women too. Mm. I think it is. Talking about leading and stuff like that, I wanted to talk a little bit more about girls in tech.
Yep.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Well, girls in tech, it's a global organization.
Yep.
Actually started in the US in 2008, funnily enough. That's not when I joined. Yeah. But Adriana Gascoigne is the founder. She was in the tech industry and I think was the only female at the table wherever she went pretty much.
Wow.
And I think just really wanted to create a safe space for females in the tech industry where, you know, they can feel empowered, you know, they can educate themselves and that's pretty much what she set up to do. So there's 60 chapters globally. I'm now the co-managing director of the Australian chapter.
Wow.
I started as a volunteer back in, it was about 6 years ago, whatever that is.
Oh, I'm the worst.
2016, let's go with that. I think for me, like when I started, I mean, I was in my 20s. Half my friends were still at uni, you know, and I was always, I guess kind of, you know, the fact that I was married and even had a kid at that age sort of set me out. But I still didn't have a network around me of people who had had businesses before. And it's the most isolating bloody journey. And I'm sure you two have felt it. Like it's so, no one comes to you. None of your team come to you with good news. You're expected just to have your rough days and you kind of can't show them. Like it's, you know, you're constantly putting yourselves in these situations where you might not know the answer. You've never done this before and you kind of got to figure it out,
problem
right?
solving. And what we say, running a business, a lot of problem solving.
Yeah. Constantly. And early on, I think just not having a network that had done it, I really struggled, I think, with that imposter syndrome and finding my voice. My business partner's male. It wasn't uncommon for us to go to meetings and I'd just leave so deflated. Like, man, it was well not have been there. No one even looked at me. Like, you just sort of really, whereas I think if I had had a community around me, it would have made all the difference. And I think going to a volunteer night, I just realized here's a group of women. I mean, everyone's from tech in some way, shape or form, even though none of them, or some of them, but a lot of them don't have like traditional tech roles. It's just like I feel like I sort of found my tribe. And so it started off of us just hosting and putting on events. And I soon realized that the women that were coming to these events and now a lot of men and non-binary and I think, you know, every walk of life is coming along. I think what they're getting from it is they're just really vulnerable, quite raw conversations in a safe space where we don't feel like we're kind of singled out in any way.
Or
like,
judged.
Oh, I love this.
If I've had a shit day at work, that's the space I can go and say, I've had a really shit day today because I can't do it here all the time. And everyone's kind of got their version of that. So the events, I think I just love from a community perspective, you can see the networks that were created. And I think just that courage that sometimes you get in numbers really, really gives. Mm. And we just finished up our, fifth conference.
Oh, wow.
Which is a big one. There was two that were virtual in the middle there, which is what tripped me up there. Yeah. But we hosted it in Melbourne. We had 700 virtual attendees and 300 people in the room. We had engagement, like the community, 6,500, and it's mainly been Melbourne, Sydney-based, maybe Melbourne, mainly Melbourne if I'm honest. So I think what really excites me is about how we can kind of, you know, branch far beyond just, you know, the little Melbourne community we've got and go Australia-wide, and I think just create that safe space for anyone who feels like they need it.
I think we have to go to the next
meeting. I was thinking that too. Yeah, because it's hard. Like sometimes you don't want to talk to your friends. I mean, I can talk to Sarah, obviously. She's my business partner, but sometimes it's nice to talk to other people.
Also, we're in a tech business, and I feel a little bit out of my depth.
Oh yeah,
like in one of our new businesses, and I'm like, I've never been involved in a startup or VC, and I'm like,
everyone does though. Oh, yeah. No one talks about it.
I do feel out of my depth a bit. Yeah, but there's one thing that you touched on in that conversation just there that I want people to really connect to, and it's the importance of building a network.
Yeah.
Would you say that's one of the secrets in starting a business?
100%. And like you learn as you go, and you learn from the people who work with you, but my God, you learn 10 times more from your network, and you get propelled far, like you get the connections, the network, you know, that old, the network's your net worth is so true. And I think, you know, girls in tech, you know, initially very selfishly was my way of kind of finding my network that I for the first time felt at home. Like I had a professional network, but I just didn't feel like there were people I could be vulnerable with. And I think that's what it really gave me. And now it's just sort of grown from there of something, you know, I really want to try and give back because I remember how horrible it felt. Yeah.
Isolated. And it's even like we might walk away and one of our friends who has a brand's like, I need a TVC commercial. And now we're like, oh, we know where you can go. Exactly. But and we always lean on our friends and network for opportunities for us as well. And that's, it's opportunities that can, by connecting with them.
It's a little like, it's funny, like because I was pregnant when we started Visual Domain and my business partner, he was working in television, getting paid, you know, proper money, startup money. and his wife was pregnant too. We've got, both of us have got two kids, both within a week of each other. We do So he's, you know, he's the main breadwinner of his household. His wife's about to give birth. And I still remember the conversation of trying to convince him that I actually think we've got something here.
Yeah.
You need to quit your high-paying job that gives you security and jump on the other end. And he said, I'll do it if we have an office. So I called a friend who had an office who gave us a few seats for free, which if it hadn't been for that, I almost feel like it wouldn't have kind of
happened.
Kicked off the way that it did because – yeah, it's just so funny how your network really is everything.
Yeah, it really is. I want to talk a little bit more about video content because obviously when you started 2018, it has evolved so much.
Yeah.
Like we've got your TikTok now, your Instagram. Can you just give us a little rundown of like how you've seen it change and how clients are spending their money as well now compared to 2008?
Yeah, well, 2008, everyone had a website.
Yeah,
maybe a MySpace page. But no, brands had a website. And so they normally got one video for their website and that's kind of them done for the next time until they want another one. So, you know, that was the landscape. I think as kind of social media grew and a real turning point I think was 4G on mobiles. Mm-hmm. God, I'm sounding so old.
I don't even remember when that happened.
Yeah. Neither do I.
I do. But I think when that happened, you know, Instagram really kind of took off in a different way and video medium became, you know, something brands wanted content on. And, you know, back then it was really just that website video they created. They just wanted a cut down version of it for, you know, that was shorter and it was all about shorter videos, shorter. And, You know, then I think we kind of saw a rise of the volume of content you needed on those channels to stay relevant. So volume kind of crept back in. I think the phase we're hitting now, which I actually really love, it's really starting to think about your each audience on each channel is so different even though it's for the same brand.
Yeah.
And I feel like brands are really either appreciating that and either sticking with one channel and talking to that audience, not trying to just cover all with the same piece. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that I really love in that as well is like I think TikTok has really kind of set this movement where it's not just about this kind of sell, it's really about entertainment.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're really kind of leaning into being these little kind of entertainment channels in their own right, which is, you know, it's got to inform, it's got to educate, it's got to entertain in order to really take off. And I think that's a really fun challenge to take on. And I think a really exciting way for brands to talk about their product if they can be successful is putting it in those terms, because, I mean, that's really what successful sales comes down to, and now we get to do it in a video, which is cool.
With specifically TikTok, and you're flicking so much, how many seconds do you have to capture a consumer's attention?
I should know the official stats for this. But
no, because that's even for me, like I sometimes sit there and think, why did I watch that whole video? And then sometimes I'm like, oh, no.
I think it's the type of content that captures you more. Like I think on TikTok especially, the second you see something look professional, like you just flick before you even give it a second.
It's true.
Whereas
it's more authentic and raw.
You want that organic
it's
user.
It's the more, I guess, amateur style, for lack of – that was inverted commas. you know, that really kind of takes – that gets the momentum there. It's then – so then, you know, for us
– I was going to say a brand
professional.
Yeah.
It comes down to now being creative and what's the idea and how we can kind of, I guess, still execute that style of work at scale.
That'd be hard.
Which is so I mean, like we've literally seen, you know, from video cameras on film and tapes to digital, and, you know, we had every photographer decide they're a videographer overnight. You know, I think, you know, now it's almost like anyone with an iPhone pretty much can professionally, you know, shoot and edit to a degree. So we really need to up our game of what we bring to the table to create value. And for us, it's the creative ideas, I think the kind of collective skill set that we've got under the roof to try and execute and turn that around, just understand the brand and the medium so that it still reflects it. Even if it's amateur style, inverted commas, it still is reflective of the brand that we're doing it for, which is still, I think, really important.
Yeah. I want to know what, on the top of your head, what brand is doing all social media platforms really well?
Oh my God.
No, I was just thinking then, I'm like, I could not tell you a brand that I think is doing each platform really well. Kmart maybe?
I think Gymshark do it really well. Do it really well, like TikTok, Instagram, and all their video content.
We do consume a lot of social media.
Maybe I don't.
Maybe I do.
I'm trying to think. Like I can tell brands on particular channels, but you know, I think Amazon's definitely
Amazon great.
Doing so well. I think they've really nailed it.
Any brands that you particularly work with?
There's a food one on TikTok and Instagram that gets me. And the reason it gets me, it's like, you can make a passive income of this much money. I'm like,
oh no, I know what that is. It's not Uber. It's DoorDash.
Yes.
DoorDash do TikTok amazing.
And that's what I try and see in videos, and you might be able to explain it better. How do you connect with the person that you're trying to on the other side of the screen, whether it be an emotional connection or like you know they want to make money or something? How do you create
it's
that
the
story?
Basics of knowing your audience, really. Like who are the people that, you know, I want to hear what I have to say, what's important to them and what's the best way for me to communicate it? It's I guess not very sexy, but it's super basic. Yeah. But it's really at the end of the day, I think what works, you know, if you're going to do DoorDash on the side, it's because you probably want to earn
extra
income and you want to see how easy it could be to do. And so to visualize, I could do that is kind of what makes them so successful. Mm. Plus I think also all the sounds and everything.
Yeah.
So it just sucks you
in. Seriously.
Yeah.
100%.
Do you have a favorite ad ever? I know I do personally.
Do you?
Yeah. Or something that just got me good.
I know for the visual domain videos, there'll always be like a scene or a shot that just becomes like the shot of the year for me. But often it'll be because I know the individual who's done it and what they've probably thought about in that moment to pull it off or they've done or.
You see it a lot different to how we
see it. Like I pick them apart. It's funny. My husband's like a carpenter and whenever we walk in somewhere, we'll be looking at like the beads and the thing. And wherever I watch a TV commercial or something, I'm like, oh my God, that's so hard. They did that. Yeah. And that would have been so hard for that one shot. So I think for me, it's just always the little shots get into
make
the most.
You think. Yeah. What's your favorite?
It's well, one video content that's got me good was that it was a UK video and it was about She Can and it was about played on all these like special needs people, all these women with disabilities these sports. And it was just so
heartwarming.
Nike
do those so well.
And I don't know, it just hit me on a different level where it just made my heart really warm.
Yeah. Interesting.
Nah.
Mm. Where do you see social media going now? Like, social media, video side of it.
I think it is more entertainment content and I think – really kind of focusing on one channel and doing that really well, you've sort of seen them kind of do all. And even though they're focused on this one, they're still touching on the others just to kind of keep them going. But I think the focus on just really owning one or a couple within, you know, what a brand can kind of handle is definitely where I can see things going over the next few years. I think just, less about that hard sell, which has definitely been a trend for a while, but more about that entertainment. And I think what that means is where we were getting videos that had to be, you know, 30 seconds or less or under a minute, definitely never a minute and a half, you can have a video go for 15 minutes. We've produced some for clients that go for like 10 minutes and they get views, like they get engagement.
Still like on Instagram and things like that?
They're still on Instagram and on social media. Like people are quite happy to sit in front of their phones instead of the TV and be entertained. So I think for brands, what an exciting opportunity. 100%. It's not just about having a 30-second TV ad in the middle of a, you know, primetime TV show. You can be the primetime TV and we're seeing brands do that really well. We just had one for Cooper's Brewery and they're celebrating their 160th year. And so they've done a series where they've just gone and talked to other family businesses who've been around for a long time and really just, you know, talk to them. And they're amazing stories. Yeah. Like they're just incredible stories. But the fact that they've really kind of, they've led this, it's their show and they've done it, I think, so well, just found these incredible people to talk to. It's just so exciting, I think, for brands to think that they can kind of think bigger and it doesn't mean a bigger budget. You'd probably spend less on some of that stuff than what you would have that 30-second ad.
Yeah, and you know what? Like I'm not a consumer of Cooper's, but I would watch that ad because I'm interested and that's maybe how you have to think. You're not going to convert for the hard sale, but you're creating some kind of connection with the audience.
Exactly. No, I think you've hit the nail on the head right there. It's just building that connection of your brand with the people you want to have a connection with you and that's the goal.
Yeah.
I have a question about streaming services and ads.
Oh, no.
Like as a video content creator, do you think there will be a time where we do have ads?
Do you mean like in Netflix and stuff?
Netflix, Stan and things like that. They're talking about it because obviously their bottom lines are decreasing so they have to increase revenue. So is that a new area where brands could potentially go into?
Not. I love how there's no ads though.
No, you can see it. Like I reckon there would be some role for it somewhere in a lot of those or it'd be more brand funded TV shows, which you know, happening I think more and more.
Was that certainly like product placement kind of thing?
Correct. Yeah. But, you know, also just brand funded entertainment as a whole. Like in all seriousness, even that Cooper series I was just touching on would have a place on a Netflix and it would stand alone. And, you know, I think there's a lot more space for brands to do that. Funnily enough, it's what my business partner used to do, 14 years ago was was that on, you know, a lot of the, you know.
Show, like a short documentary, like a startup or something.
There's a lot of, even those light entertainment shows are often, you know, there's a brand funded element behind some of those stories, and it's subtle and you wouldn't know it. And
can see it happening. You're right. You can see it happening now. Like there's that Abercrombie and Finch on Netflix. Like there's that documentary. There's Von Dutch. Like Von Dutch has obviously had its moment, lost its moment, and then brought out the documentary and it's having its moment again. People are buying Von Dutch. So you can see it happening.
Doesn't Beyonce do it well? Yes. She knew what she was doing when she wanted the rights to the 100% footage from Coachella.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Like Jennifer Lopez. There's a Jennifer Lopez one at the moment. But I did hear this morning on Netflix that, did you guys hear that on the news? They're going to, instead of just having like your own membership, you know how people can use your own memberships or whatever, they're having this thing that if you want other people to access your membership, so family members, you have to pay for an additional TV. So you have to register
your like TV,
a different TV. So just say you had a holiday house in Port Said, so, and you wanted to log on to Netflix, you have to pay additional to have it on another TV, but it's still your membership. Yeah. So
Someone smart will figure out a loophole.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. But I heard that this morning. So maybe they'll try that before they introduce the ads.
Maybe. Another video content that I'm trying to wrap my head around, and China does it really, really well, is live shopping.
Yeah, true.
Is that?
I don't see that.
Okay.
Well, so it's like we do interactive video shopping, so you can actually
like those ads, things like the Danos Direct kind of thing.
Oh, those that's not what we're doing. So if it's a, you know, say it's a runway fashion show, you can actually opt to purchase the products on live.
Yeah, that's similar to what they do.
I think it's so clever and it's so smart because everyone watches on a mobile. On mobile, your videos are full screen. So if you want that kind of click to purchase opportunity, you know, and you've got someone watching a video, you're really expecting them to stay on the landing page once the video is done, which, let's be honest, no one does. Everyone just clicks back or onto the next video. So I think that opportunity to purchase
instantaneously
how does, is actually super exciting. How does that work? Exciting.
Do you like click on the video?
And you click on the video and it just opens up like a little kind of shadow box or kind of where you can add to cart and off you go.
That is so
really stream. Seamless.
Very clever. Many brands in Australia doing that now.
We're working with a company called Voodoo and with our new partners News Corp to be able to offer it, because you can't do it on a lot of the social media sites because you're in their player. It's not the native player. Working with News Corp so that when they're, I guess, sort of on their different relevant pages, when they're featuring a product, they can now include a bit more information and give, you know, the audience that opportunity to purchase straight from there if they want to.
You guys need to do a production at like Fashion Week in Melbourne or something and have like it set up there and do that, because I feel like people would buy that when they want something, they want it then.
Exactly.
That would be a good partner for you guys. So the expectation. I feel like that's your next one.
Instant gratification.
I want to talk about you personally. How do you balance being a mum, a wife, and running a business?
A leader of 100 people.
I think everything kind of has its moment, right? Like sometimes everyone's like, no one has balance, like males, females, freaking no one's getting to everything that they want. And I think it's just knowing that sometimes work is going to take over and I'm not going to have space for much else, but also recognizing when it's not, I've kind of got to take those opportunities and, you know, make sure that there's always those anchor points of family first and foremost. Like that's always been there even when work does take over. But, you know, I guess sort of adding to that, you know, sometimes families, you know, there'll be big weeks for the family and you just got to be present and you got to be there. And I think just not being so structured with it and just knowing sometimes it's just going to happen.
Yeah.
And you know what? I need to stay and I need to work till 11 o'clock because that's what I've got to do. But I'll be home on time tomorrow and I'll make sure I get the quality time in and make up for it. But I think also like I run, so that's definitely
that helps.
If I didn't have that, which I actually haven't had it for the last 2 years, I had a foot injury. Went on my first run like last week, which I haven't had for 2 weeks.
Oh my God, you feel like a new person.
All the 2 years to not run.
Oh yeah,
so it's been I've been going a bit insane. The second I like my feet were on the pavement, I'm like, I feel like a whole person again.
I feel like it's so important. Like, we work out most days, and it's like I say to my partner, and he's like, "Oh, you're going to work?" I'm like, "Yes, because I'm a better person when I do something like this."
I don't sleep well because a million thoughts are running in my mind. So even just having like always get a good workout during the day, at least I'll kind of sleep because I've gotten that energy out. I think it just helps everything.
You also feel like you've done something good for yourself. Yeah. That's what I've been noticing lately. It's like, if I don't do it, I'm like, oh, I need to do something that's good for myself.
Filling up your cup.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we have to give you some Tally Lou tights because we're a sportswear brand, so we'll have to deliver those.
But, yeah, that's filling up cup. How do you fill up your cup apart from running? Is it family time? Is that what warms your heart?
Yeah, pretty much family. Family time, like, it is definitely running and just going to the gym. I'm pretty simple, really. Yeah, time with friends, definitely time with girlfriends, I think, is just so important. If not having running the last 2 years, I don't think if I had my girlfriends, I would have lasted. There's this Jane Fonda video floating around at the moment. Have you seen it?
No.
She talks about guys with when they're with their male friends, and she, you know, acknowledges it's a total generalization, which I will as well, but they tend to look outwards. They'll look at, oh, that's a cool car, that's this. And, you know, they look out, they'll be watching sport. It's whereas I think females generally, very big generally, tend to actually talk more inwards with each other.
You're right.
Like, you don't seem right today. What's going on?
And, are you okay?
Yeah. I need a cough. I'm sorry.
No, go. That's funny you say that because Tal and I went out to lunch with one of our best friends the other day, and Tal called me the next day and she's like, that was such a nice lunch. And I was like, it's kind of like a therapy session.
It's just what I needed. Like, I'm totally fine, but like just sitting there with your girlfriends and just letting stuff off your chest. Yeah. You're like, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
It felt, I just had such a beautiful afternoon. I was like, I really enjoyed that.
You feel a bit whole again, I think, after those sessions. I think, you know, going through the last few years and not having those, but then just making sure you make them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nothing better.
No, nothing. Yeah. It's so good.
Do you have any advice for anyone who is thinking they might start a business or thinks that, oh, I can't do that, I'm not a leader or a type of person?
Go for it.
Yeah.
No one feels like, everyone successful has felt exactly like you do right now. Guarantee it. Like, no one feels confident. No one always feels like they can do it, but they do it anyway. And I think that kind of, you know, when I started, I shared at the start, everything I was up against, like, failure was not an option.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't need to put yourself in quite that higher stakes. But in some ways, I'm so grateful for it because I think it gave me that extra grit and determination. So if you can find that in a less stressful way, I highly recommend it. But like, anyone can do it. It's just, I guess, sort of just taking that first step and believing in yourself enough to not give up through it, which I know is very corny, but it honestly is the truth.
I love that. That's good advice. I also want to ask, before we wrap up, what is next for yourself personally, and then what is next for Visual Domain?
Oh, good one.
Well, global domination, no.
Yes.
For Visual Domain, always. I think definitely we are thinking a lot bigger. So our offering, even like last year, used to be quite, I guess, kind of similar. We're now branching out. We've got 5 departments of Visual Domain, and I think just really looking at how we can best, you know, live our vision of being partners in production to brand, which means something so different today and in the future than what it has. So
do you have international clients?
We have a few, and we'd like a few more because I believe we can do it really well.
Yeah.
So working on all of that. So global domination, of course. Visual Domain. I think for me it's interesting, like, my kids are like teenagers now, so it's such a transition. I've got a 15 and a 12-year-old, and I'm going through the germ of, like, they're not going to live with me forever. Just figure out who I am when I'm not with, you know, when I'm not mom. And the old sense is such a different version of that now, and it's obviously going to change a lot over the next 5 to 10 years. Still very relevant, but the place is different. So for me, I think it's almost like, very corny again, but figuring out who I am on my own when this definition of mum is so different.
This is one of the conversations we're having on Saturday with our girlfriend who's a mum.
Every podcast with females who are in business, that is a common thing.
Yeah.
Trying to find out who they are without all those other exterior labels.
Yeah.
So it's good that you're aware of it, though. I think a lot of
women don't know what to do with it. Yeah. It's there, though, yeah. But I'm aware. Yeah.
Oh, well, it was so good to have you on. Where can people find you? Social media, LinkedIn?
LinkedIn for sure. Yeah. And always up for a chat.
Oh, great. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people are going to get so much out of that. Like, I definitely got a lot out of
it. So much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was such a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.